Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For any type of vehicle for transportation, a vehicle that gets you where you want to go anyways, you need really two things. You need a motor of some type, and you need a steering mechanism. For a car, that is the engine and the steering wheel and column. For a boat, it would be the engine and the rudder. For a bicycle, you need pedals and the handlebars. Now, you can add gears to make your speed more efficient. Brakes are good to slow down, for sure, but really, what is essential is you need something to move you, and you need some way to direct or guide that movement. And when we translate that to people, we can see the same sort of thing. Our social systems are based on this idea of motivation and direction. In a market economy, for instance, the idea is that people are motivated, notice the word motor there, motivated to seek their own profit, their own good, what advances themselves and their cause. And the idea is if that is allowed for people to pursue their own interests, society will produce more and more, and everyone will benefit, right? It's an economic theory called the invisible hand. But what should they produce? Well, in that system, the consumers do the steering as well. They buy products they like, they refuse products they don't. And so the economy is steered to produce what is needed. To put it crudely, all people are by nature sinful and curved inward, seeking their own good. And that's one thing that's so dependable, we have found economic systems based on it. Classical liberal economics uses human sin as a motor, a motivator for production, and a way to steer the economy to make society thrive. When you're dealing with people in a sinful world, it's prudent to count on their selfishness rather than their charity. Governments exist not to encourage good and to shame evil. They exist to reward good and to punish evil. Because people naturally seek their own reward and try to avoid their own punishment. The carrot and the stick appeal to man's sinful nature. But for the Christian, there is another motivator, another motor, and it is a person. It is God, the Holy Spirit, who dwells in the hearts of believers, makes them new people who want to do good for others, even if they get punished by the world for it, and even if they lose worldly profit or worldly gain. So for the Christian, the word and commands of God are the steering wheel. The Spirit is our motor. A good example of this is John the Baptist. And today, August 29th, is observed by the church the annual festival of the martyrdom of St. John the Baptist. His holy death. And just look at his life. He was not a man dressed in soft clothing, but camel's hair. He preached God's word and ended up beheaded for it at the hands of a harlot. He was motivated, all right. Few were as motivated as John the Baptist, even among the prophets. He was motivated, but not by seeking his own pleasure or avoiding his own hurt. He was motivated by the Spirit of the living God. His actions were steered and directed not by personal gain or avoiding loss, but by the laws and by the commands of the Lord. John the Baptist would not be a good consumer in a capitalist economy because his life is a direct command economy, predirected by the eternal and changeless word of the living God, regardless of his own welfare in the world. John's treasure is not here, but is in heaven, as is his reward. And with this understanding, we can see the message Christ is preaching in the story of the Good Samaritan. He is preaching how we Christians receive the power to fulfill the law and commands of God. By nature, the only power we have is sin, the power to seek our own good and to avoid our own punishment. But we are commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is our steering wheel. We ought to do that. But as the story shows, the priest and the Levite can only steer around the neighbor in need. But for the new man in Christ, our motor is the will to do the good created and sustained by the Holy Spirit, who dwells in us. Without the Spirit, the Christian would be like a car without a motor. Without the Word, the Christian would be like a boat without a rudder. But equipped with the Spirit and the Word, we can do what the unbeliever cannot do, willingly. We can selflessly seek and provide for the good of our neighbor. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw the man, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. The word for this compassion that the Samaritan has refers literally to his inner parts. And what it literally means is that his guts hurt. In this, we have a perfect example of having the power to love your neighbor as yourself. The Samaritan, when he sees his neighbor suffering, literally feels the pain himself. But it's not the sort of queasiness that would have him look away and avoid the scene altogether. His compassion drives him to help his neighbor, dress his wounds, provide for his care. And he is no less inclined to ignore the man and his wounds than to ignore his own. So too Jesus famously had compassion, the same word, compassion on the crowds, when he sees that they're hungry and he feeds them. In perceiving their suffering, he suffers. He is the Good Samaritan. He cannot simply pursue his own good because his spirit is wrapped up in the good of his neighbor. It's like a parent who can't stand to see their children suffer, or a man who lays down his life for a friend. St. Paul's guts hurt so much because of the faithlessness of his own people, that he says he would exchange his own salvation for theirs if it was possible. With motivations of the same spirit, Jesus cannot stand to see people suffering. So he stops what he's doing, helps them immediately. The priest and the Levite do not help. They represent all of mankind without the gospel and the Spirit. They lack the power of the new covenant, established by Jesus Christ in his blood. And so they're like children, under a guardian, under managers, until faith comes. They're directed by bedtimes and curfews, by new moons and Sabbaths, because they haven't been given the spirit of compassion. But through Christ, faith has come with a new birth of water and spirit, And that faith is a new motor, a new spirit that speeds their craft toward the ailing neighbor rather than navigate around him. This new motivation is the knowledge that we have already been given the kingdom of God. Jesus paid the debt for our sin so that we no longer owe our neighbor anything except love. And we have true compassion to motivate us because our salvation is secure. Our salvation is secure, and we can busy ourselves in our lives with seeking the good of others. We still have our sin, but having been set free by the Son, we have the power to steer our craft away from it and toward the good works God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Equipped with the gospel, you are empowered to truly love your neighbor as yourself. May God grant it, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.